Okay, today's shiur is Malachim Aleph Perek Dalet, as we pick up again with Shlomo HaMelech. So Shlomo HaMelech, as we know, the first three prakim, or David HaMelech taking his leave off of the stage of history, and Shlomo HaMelech coming on. Shlomo HaMelech in Perek Beis kills out any of the other people who might pose a threat to his malchus, and in the last parak we just had HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to Shlomo HaMelech in a chalom, in a vision, and he asks Shlomo, what do you want? I want wisdom. He gives him everything, and we have the story of that wisdom being translated into Lamaisa, the psak of the two women, cut the baby in half, and Shlomo HaMelech ultimately coming to the to the truth, and everybody realizes what a chacham Shlomo is. And if you look at the last pasuk in the last parak, Vayiru mebnei HaMelech, they all feared him, ki ro, ki chachmas elokim bekirbo la'asos mishpat, because they saw the wisdom was with him. So this parak is just a list. It is a shorter parak than the previous ones. It's just a list. The parak starts off that Shlomo HaMelech was king, and these are the officers of Shlomo. And it goes through who are the sofrim, who is the secretary, who are the kohanim. It also mentions that Ulishlomo Pasuk Zayin Shnemasar Nitzavim. Shlomo HaMelech appoints 12 heads, 12 representatives. Why? Because Shlomo HaMelech was always had a large family and had many visitors and dignitaries. So who was going to provide the food and the parnasa for Shlomo HaMelech for everything that he needed? So he split it up into 12 parts, 12 representatives. One representative was in charge of a different area in Eretz Yisrael, and 1 month out of the year, that area had to provide all of the materials and food and produce that Shlomo HaMelech needed to live. So, and it lists off all of the 12 representatives that Shlomo HaMelech appointed. And there was one on top of all of them, and the parak ends off by saying that the Jews were many, rabim kechol hayam larov, and they were ochlim v'shosim usmechem. They were happy, they were eating. It was the best time, a wonderful time in Jewish history to be part of the Jewish empire in Yerushalayim. That's the parak. The parak just lists off all of the officers. Okay, now let's see what messages we could glean from this list. Again, sometimes the messages are obvious and screaming out at us, and this type of parak, we have to just glean under a little bit more to appreciate what's happening here. So, the parak starts off, Vayihi HaMelech Shlomo HaMelech al kol Yisrael. Shlomo HaMelech was the king over all of Israel. Right? What is that emphasizing? The Radak says, this is in contrast to Shaul and David, who did not rule over all of Israel at the beginning of their Malchus. Not everybody was in agreement that they should be the leaders. But here, Shlomo starts off smooth. David did not start off smooth. Shaul didn't. He started off smooth. Why did he start off smooth? Rashi says, because of the Chachma. They just saw his unbelievable Chachma. Samchu kulam b'malchuso. They realized he was the one. There was nobody else that was in his league, and therefore they were very happy, and they all followed him. The Abarbanel notes here that really there were three elements that brought everybody together under Shlomo HaMelech. And they're all alluded to, because the parak starts off by saying Shlomo was king over Israel. Asked Abarbanel that there were two earlier psukim that already told us this. It said in the previous parak, Vishlomo yashal akisei David aviv, v'tikon machuso ma'od. Shlomo was sitting on his father's throne. And it also says, v'hamamlacha nechona b'yad Shlomo. The previous, right, already says, he had the malucha. He already said, this is the third pasuk. The third pasuk that tells us that Shlomo HaMelech was sitting on the throne. Says the Abarbanel, you know why? Because it's referring to three different reasons why all of Am Yisrael followed Shlomo. Lohodia, Sheshlosha Sibos Atsumos, Hischabru Bihimalchuso. Number one, Ha'achas, Ratzon David Aviv, Shem Lichu Bechayev. Number one, that David himself made him the carrier of the torch while he, David, was still alive. That, number one, gave him the power. Everybody realized that David chose him, so he's the one. That's the first pasuk. So after he was anointed and humlach by David, he sat on his father David's throne, v'tikon machuso ma'o, number one, because David appointed him. Number two, he killed out anyone who posed a threat. Shaharagas Oivav Adoniyahu Viyoav Ben Sruya Vigiresh of Yasar Vishimi, and that it says Amam Lachanachona Biat Shlomo. That's number two, that he got rid of any competitor or anyone who would be against. And finally, the third message was his chachma, and that's this pasuk: Chachmaso ha'elokit asher nasan lo elokim ki bameshe hikir ha'am v'his parsei metzlam echachmaso ha'mufleges. They recognize and they realize his true, unbelievable wisdom. Ratza ha'am kulo b'malchuso. Everybody wanted him. You know, you would want to have the best guy to be your king. That's what they all wanted him. V'lamanu mizesh lo haya in yano kishaul b'tchilas malchuso. Evgam lo haya k'David aviv. It wasn't like David. It wasn't like Shaul. But it was Dafka Shlomo. He was the one. His malchus was different, and that is what's mentioned here. There's also an unbelievable ha'ara by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky here in the Emes LeYaakov. If you look in the text, we have the first pasuk in the parak is the last. If you look in the Parsha Psucha, Parsha Stuma, we know there are sections written in the Torah and in the Navi. It's the last pasuk of the previous parak. Why? Because this title of Shlomo Melech was king over all of Israel, that's really coming on the heels of the previous parak. That really has to do with the previous parak, nothing to do with this parak. This parak is all about the list of people that he delegated to. But it's really the end, because of that great chachma that he showed, so Shlomo Melech became king of all Israel. So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, this is another example of the Christian sources. Right? We know the prakim in Tanakh were not from Jewish sources. They were from non-Jewish sources. So Rabbi Yaakov says, they made a big mistake here. They messed up, because this pasuk really should be in the previous parak, right? The first parak dalet pasuk aleph really totally belongs at the end of parak gimel, because it has to do with his chachma, and then that was part of why he was chosen as melech over all Israel. But Rabbi Yaakov says, you know, and this is a mistake. It's a mistake they made, and also as a raya, he says that we mentioned the parak gimel is the haftorah for parashas miketz. What's the last pasuk of the haftorah? The first parak of parak dalet. That's strange, to end a Haftorah reading the first pasuk of the following parak. The answer is because it's wrong. It's only the first pasuk of the following parak because of the non-Jewish sources that made it a new parak. But really, it totally belongs in the previous parak. That is, says Rabbi Yaakov, a mistake. He just quotes another mistake, a very famous one, and that is, where does Bereishis Parak Beis start off with? Vayechulu. That's the beginning of Parak Beis in Bereishis. Vayechulu Hashem Va'aretz. That's totally at Maisa Bereishis. That should be at the end of Perek Aleph. Vayechulu, Asher Baram LaMasos. That should be the end of Perek Aleph. These three psukim have everything to do with Perek Aleph, not of Perek Beis. So Rabbi Yaakov says, right, this is a mistake that they made. And he doesn't quote it, but again, I didn't do the total research, but the Chavetz Chaim, in all of his writings, he never quotes Prakim. He always quotes the Parsha and the Aliyah. He will say, Ekev Shlishi. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Psukim come from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Kol psuki de lo paske Moshe, anan lo paskinan. Psukim come from Moshe. Prakim come from the Christians. And therefore, psukim, that obviously we hold up. But prakim, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, this one is also a mistake, just like the one at the end of Perek Aleph of Bereishis is a mistake. Okay, so that's the first pasuk. Shlomo HaMelech is king over all of Israel. We continue. Now we have the Perek, which the Abarbanel says reflects that Shlomo HaMelech was a great leader. What made him a great leader? Because he was a great delegator. He didn't do everything himself. He didn't have even the anava of David. They can't do it for me. I'm small. I need tolas v'loish. Shlomo HaMelech knew who he was. He knew he was the king. He knew he had to be the. He had to take charge. So he built the base, and he was going to build the base of Migdash. So he was a great delegator. He got a lot of people involved, and in that way, he was able to solidify and stabilize his malchus. Ve'elu asarim asherlo. So these are the sarim. These are the princes that he had. Azaryahu ben Tzadok HaKohen. The first one is Azariah, the son of Tzadok HaKohen. Who was he? What did he do? Was he the Kohen Gadol? He was not. Because look in Pasuk Dalet. Ubanayahu ben Yoyada ala tzava, v'tzadok ve'avyatar kohanim. Tzadok and Avyatar were the Kohanim. Tzadok was the Kohen Gadol that we last met. Avyatar, there's a machlokes, right? Avyatar was banished by David HaMelech in the previous parak. So the Radak says it must be a different Avyatar. Same name. But they were the Kohanim. So back to this Pasuk. What did this Kohen do? Pasuk Beis. Who is Azariah ben Tzadok? Who was he? So the Abarbanel says, well, maybe you have to read it with the next phrase. He was one of the Sofrim, as the next pasuk says, Elichoref Achia Sofrim. Okay, that's a little difficult, because it's the previous Perek. But if you look in the Radak, kind of throws up his hands and is not exactly sure what he was appointed to. But the Mitzudas David has a suggestion. The Mitzudas David here says, Ulai ha'emidu limshoach milchama. Maybe he was the Mashuach Milchama. We know there were different Kohen Gadols. There was one main Kohen Gadol who did the service in the Beis HaMikdash, but also the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, the Kohen Gadol that was appointed to give the pep talk to Klal Yisrael before they went out to war. Right? That was a Mashuach Milchama. There's a parak in Mesechta Sota, came main parak Mashuach Milchama. Right, for a daf and a half, it talks all about the laws of Mashuach Milchama. If you look in Parsha Shoftim at the end, in Parachaf, there are three sections of what the Mashuach Milchama is supposed to say. So that's why it might not be all the Mashuach Milchama. Some of it might be the Shoter. And he talks there about be strong, don't be scared. And he also mentions the people who have the allowance to go back from the battle. If you just built a house, if you just got married, you're allowed to go back. But be scared. And anybody who's just Yari Varachalevav, which sometimes Darshan to be scared of the Averis Biyadam. That's Mashuach Milchama. So maybe that's what it's referring to, says the Mitzudas David. There is an interesting Minchas Chinuch, we'll get to two of them now, about Mashuach Milchama. The Minchas Chinuch notes that a regular Kohen Gadol, a real Kohen Gadol, how does he become the Kohen Gadol? So either one of two ways. Either he's anointed with the Shemana Mishcha, the special oil that Moshe Rabbeinu made, A, or B, with Merubah Begadim. He puts on the 8 Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, the 4 special ones, and that itself helps him to achieve the status of Kohen Gadol. Says the Minchas Chinuch, what about the Mashuach Milchama? He doesn't wear the 8 Begadim. So says the Minchas Chinuch, in Mitzvah Kuf Zayin, the only way that he can become the Mashuach Milchama is with the oil, because he doesn't have the special clothes. So only with the oil that is sprinkled and wiped on him. Says the Minchas Chinuch, the problem is, the oil was already put away during Bayis Rishon. So the Minchas Chinuch is forced to say that during the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Mashuach Milchama. Because he said he didn't do any avoda, he didn't wear any special begadim. So Vadai says the Minchas Chinuch, there was nobody. Lo niskadesh le'inyan ha'chamisha dvarim rak b'mashicha, v'im kein b'bayisheni, d'la'achar shenigza atzlochesh al shemen, lo haya klal Mashuach Milchama. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says. And then he quotes, I think this is the only time, maybe not, but one of the only times, if not the only time, he quotes Josephus. He says that even though in Josephus, the non-Jewish history book, right, that they use, the Jewish, but either the non-Tanakh history book, even though it says there, it talks about Yehuda HaMakabi being the Mashuach Milchama, it's not true. They just use that as a phrase. But says the Minchas Chinuch, I don't think it means that, because you can't have a Mashuach Milchama without the oil. But that's the Mitzudas David suggestion here, that when it talks about the Mashuach, when it talks about Tzadok HaKohen, maybe he was the Mashuach Milchama. There is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, which type of wars do you need this Mashuach Milchama in? Pashtus, you need it in Milchemes Rishus, a voluntary Milchama. Why? Because in a Milchemes Mitzvah, there's no allowances. Everybody has to go out to fight. Milchemes Mitzvah. The problem is the Rambam in Mishnah Torah. He says, "Echad milchemes mitzvah ve'elchad milchemes rishus, mimanin kohen ladaber ala'am." Both, and the Ravid jumps on the Rambam. It's only about milchemes rishus, not a milchemes mitzvah. So you have to say what the Rambam means is that you give chizuk, you encourage them by every milchama. But obviously he would agree that the peturim, the allowances to go back, if you built a home or a vineyard, that's only by a milchemes rishus. Okay, there's more here about milchama, but let's just continue and we'll see if there's time at the end. So he appoints Azariah ben Sadok. Then the next two are Elichoref and Achia b'nei Shisha. They're both sons of Shisha. Sofrim, they're the scribes. So you read this pasuk, it's not so exciting. But if you know the Gemara in Sukkah, it's very exciting. What does the Gemara in Sukkah tell us? A great story. Sukkah Nun Gimel Amid Aleph. Shlomo HaMelech was walking around, and he sees the Malach HaMaves. And the Malach HaMaves looks sad. And Shlomo HaMelech asks him, "Why are you so sad?" And the Malach HaMaves says, "You see those two people over there? Elichoref and Achia? You know, I need to kill them, but I can't figure out a way to kill them." So Shlomo says, "What? You have to kill them?" Shlomo HaMelech calls the chief demon. He sends them to the city of Luz, where nobody dies. And as they got to the gateway of the city of Luz, they dropped dead. They dropped dead. The next day, Shlomo HaMelech sees the Malach HaMaves, he's cracking up. And he says, "What's going on here?" He says, "You know, Shlomo, I needed to kill those guys, but I was only allowed to kill them right outside the city of Luz. And I couldn't figure out a way to get them there. Thank you very much. Thank you." And Shlomo HaMelech responds and says, "I guess you can't fight with destiny." Ragloi debar inish inan arvin bay, the feet of a person is their cosigner, la asar demispin tamon mavilin yasei. Wherever he has to go, he has to go. So these two people were made famous by that story. What's the godless though? The Mishnah Zav notes. Where is this mentioned? It's right after the story of the women and Shlomo's unbelievable chachma. You know what the message is? Even Shlomo's great chachma can't outsmart God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's time. So even chachma Shlomo chachma mikol adam, but you can't outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If this is the destiny, so this is the destiny, and this is what has to be. This is what has to be. And Shlomo himself recognized that. Because what's his reaction to the story? Oh, I can't believe it. No, his reaction is, this is destiny. I shouldn't try to play around, and this is exactly what happened. And I played into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. Okay, so who else is here? We've only mentioned two people. Yehoshaphat ben Achilan HaMazkir. Yehoshaphat was the Mazkir. What does the Mazkir mean? The secretary? Rashi says it means the one who kept track of the people who came in for judgment. Who came first, who came second, because there's a halacha. You have to judge the people who came first. People who came second. You can't skip people. So he was the Mazkir. Uvanayo ben Yoyada Latzava. He was in charge of the army. Vitzadok and Aviatar, as we said, were the Kohanim. Azariah ben Nasan were on the Nitzavim. Who are the Nitzavim? The Nitzavim are the 12 people that are listed in charge of the different areas of Eretz Yisrael. So Azariah was in charge of them. He was in charge of the 12 people who were in charge of bringing the food to the king. The Malbim points out here that this was also part of Shlomo's Chachma. Right? It would be very hard to say everybody always has to support the king. Right? But what did Shlomo do? Once a month. Well, I'm sorry, 1 month out of every year, this area is really in charge. So you know what these representatives were meant to do? To gather little by little every month. So it doesn't have to be so painful every month that everybody has to give up everything. Because Shlomo obviously had a huge contingent, an entourage, he needed a lot. But if you pick up every month, so then that's going to work out. And nobody's going to be upset at you, because you're taking very little. That was also part of his chachma. Ki arach adavar b'chachma ba'ofan sheh. It didn't become too heavy on his Medina. He split up the land into 12 parts, connected to the 12 months, and in that way was able to split it. Right? The Radak points out, it wasn't split based on Shevet. It wasn't that 12 sections. No, it was 12 equal parts. Right? Some Shvatim got bigger, got smaller. He split up the land into 12 equal parts, and picked a leader, a representative, to be in charge of those. And then he quotes, V'chilku as melech v'zbeiso chodesh bashana, every one month out of every year, and then he lists them, V'elish mosam ben chur bahar Ephraim, v'chulu v'chulu. What happened to, the Mishnah Zozov points out, where's Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim was not listed here, right? So they weren't in charge of anything? So the Mishnah Zozov says, he has one of two ideas. He says, maybe Yerushalayim is not listed because they were pater. They were busy learning Torah. They were Osek and Avoda, the Kohen and the Levim. Or, interestingly, he suggests, maybe the point is that we know all of the people who came to visit Yerushalayim, they needed places to stay. And they needed people to house them. And like Aliyah LeRegel. So they were always working for Shlomo HaMelech, the people of Yerushalayim. So they didn't need to provide because they were always hosting and serving. And ma'arachim es aboyim ala melech ves oli regolim bebateim, and therefore they didn't complain about it. They were besimcha, right? That's one of the nisim. Lo amar adam chaveiro tzarli hamakom, right? They didn't complain about it. So that is part of another suggestion of why Yerushalayim was not involved. And it goes through each of the places here. It goes through Shalavim and Beit Shemesh are on the list, right? That was Ben Deker, Ben Chesed. It goes through the whole list of people. Interesting, one of them in Pasuk Yud Gimel was Ben Gever, Baramos Gilad, Lo Chavos Ya'ir Ben Menashe. He had the suburbs of Ya'ir Ben Menashe, Asher B'Gilad. Right, we know this from the end of Parshas Matos. Right, Gilad is Aver Hayardain. That was also part of the Malchus. So if you remember the Pasuk there, the last Pasuk in Parshas Matos talks about two people who conquered land. Ya'ir Ben Menashe, and he named his cities Chavos Ya'ir, and Novach named his cities Novach. And the Medrash says, Rashi quotes it at the end of Matos, that Novach's cities were just totally gone. They went into oblivion. He lost his cities. But Chavos Ya'ir lasted, like right here. Chavos Ya'ir, they're still here. What was the difference? We mentioned this in a Parsha Shir a number of years ago, an unbelievable thought from Rabbi Schwab on that pasuk. Why did Ya'ir cities last and Novach cities not last? So Schwab mentions that anything that we have is just that. We have it, but it's not us. We should never identify ourselves by what we have, but by who we are. Well, we have a fancy car, but that's not me. We have a fancy house. We have anything. It's not us. What's us? Maisim Tovim, Torah, Mitzvahs, that's what identifies us. But stuff that we have is not us. Ya'ir knew that. What did he name his cities? Suburbs of Ya'ir. Chavos Ya'ir. They're not him. What did Novach name his city? Novach. He totally identified with his Gashmias, with his assets. And that's why if somebody totally identifies like that, so then they're going to lose it. They're going to lose it. It's not going to last. That's the Rabbi Schwab at the end of Parshas Matos. The difference between Chavos Ya'ir, who we see right here, they lasted. They lasted all the way until now in the times of Shlomo, and Novach. Novach is not here because his city did not last. Okay, and the continues listing off all of the 12. And if you look in Pasuk Yutes, it says an extra one. Nitziv Echad Asher Ba'aretz. And there was one more. Who was this one more? So the Rashi has two opinions here. Either there was one that was appointed over all of them, and that was what we mentioned before, Azaryahu, or Rashi says there was one extra one just in case it was a Shana Mu'beres, just in case it was 13 months in the year, so you needed an extra. Right? Who's going to support that 13th month? That's what Rashi quotes in Pasek Yutes. And finally, the Pasek ends off by saying, Yehuda and Yisrael were Rabin, there were many, like the sand of the sea, Ochlim Vishosim Usmechem. They were on top of the world, right? And this is also why the Rambam quotes that we did not accept converts during this time. Because why would people convert in this time? Because the Jews are on top of the world. So of course everybody wants to be Jewish, right? At the time everybody's eating and drinking and being happy. The Rambam quotes, they didn't accept converts. That was part of the problem by Shlomo. We know Shlomo married some converts. Bas Paro, we had earlier in the Sefer. So he converted them. But the problem was that it was at a time that conversions weren't normally done, so that's why it smacked of a little problem. But that's number one. Number two, if you look in the Be'er Moshe here, he talks about how it's eating, drinking, and smechem, and not smechem, eating and drinking. First is the eating and drinking, not the simcha, because he said it was a spiritual type of simcha. It wasn't that they were so happy so they had a party. No, they had a party, l'shem shemayim, and that brought them to simcha. Because this is obviously talking about true simcha, real simcha, simcha that's going to lead to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Like the Rambam talks about simcha, the real simcha at the end of Hilchas Lulav. The Rambam talks about ha simcha she yismach adam ba'asiyas hamitzvah uba'ahavas hakel shesiva bahen. The simcha, what's the great simcha that we have to have? Doing a mitzvah and the love of Hashem who commanded them. The Rambam says that simcha is avoda gedolahi. It's great work. It's a heavy, it's difficult work to always be besimcha. And if you withhold yourself purposely, you're deserving to get punished, as the Pasuk says in the Tochacha, Dafka. We have to try to serve Hashem besimcha in all areas that we can. And the Be'er Moshe here goes into at length, you know, true simcha, what it means, but really, all of Klal Yisrael at this time were besimcha because they were resting from their enemies, they were in Yerushalayim, and the only thing left, as we will see, is to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that'll be coming up at Hashem in the next couple of prakim. Okay, we will stop here, and next time continue with Sefer Melachim.